Welcome back to Hard Facts with Sandra Ezekwesili.
Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Will the Gerrard Road collapse victims get justice? That's the question on the minds of a lot of people in Lagos at the moment. Lagos is still reeling from the latest building collapse. It's chilling, we can say latest, but that's how common these incidents are here in Lagos, right? Which brings me to our big hard fact today. According to The Punch, 145 buildings have collapsed in Lagos since 2007. And 213 people have died in building collapses here between 2014 and last year. So 145 buildings collapsing since 2007, according to The Punch, 213 people dying in building collapses between 2014 and last year. This tragedy on Gerrard Road has, of course, increased that number. And for the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking about the latest developments and news from Gerrard Street, from Gerrard Road, and the panel that has been set up to investigate the collapse. We'll also look at the phenomenon of building collapse in general here in Lagos. Lagos, what are the root causes for the negligence that allows it to happen? Joining me to talk about this is Nigeria Info correspondent Emmanuel Onwuka. Emmanuel, welcome back to Hard Facts.
Thank you, President Sandra.
It's unbelievable that my office people call me this as well, but it is what it is. Lagos, I want you to join the conversation as well. Let's have this conversation with you, 0700-993-993-993. Emmanuel, I think the biggest news over the weekend about this collapse was the Premium Times report about a site worker who says that the broke a defective pillar right before the collapse. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. So according to him, he said that they were working on the pillar, so they found out that the pillar had a crack. And obviously it was compromised. So they had to do the work. They had to brace it up. And the engineers, he mentioned two names, Kola and Ola, had told them to begin working on the pillar at that very point in time. And he said that they began, hitting the pillar, trying to remove some parts of it. The engineers had thought that the pillar was a very big one. Mm-hmm. It was a very big one, and it would hold sway, not knowing that it was going to trigger the collapse of the building. Mm. And so that's what it is. But, the challenge there is that we were not able to actually get him. We are not able to actually get him to, because of the situation of things. Because of the situation of things, we were not able to actually get him to say much concerning, the whole incident. Mm-hmm. If not, the question on my mind to ask him at that very point in time was the pillar braced before, the work began on it?
Because what do you mean braced?
Like supported.
Okay.
I don't know how to call it. I'm not in that field, but yeah. You could have some irons, or some stops hold the pillar while it's being worked on. Mm-hmm. That's something I wanted to ask him to know if there was anything like that, so we could understand if he could avoid the incident. But then we didn't really have that time. And if you check the soundbite of it, you see that interview was done, in a very...
very hush-hush.
Yeah.
Speaking of, let's listen to the soundbite now.
All right. Working on the first floor, the engineer Kola and the engineer Ola told us there's one pillar at the first floor. The pillar was pressed. So the engineer told us to bring the pillar so that they will fix another pillar. Because of the pillar is very big, so they have confidence that nothing will happen to the pillar. But they just moved the first pillar again to set around. So suddenly the great noise just started falling. So the noise started falling. The owner of the house knew about the pillar, that the pillar was crashed. The pillar was crashed because of I used to stay here, I used to sleep here, I used to look around the monuments that were not still cement to me. It is to the engineer to pass us to plenty. But so you even saw us there when we were walking. They were doing meeting, there were many there, so he gave us money to go and take breakfast.
Have there been any other reported eyewitness accounts that either corroborate or refute this?
Okay, no, there have not been any other eyewitness account. The only person that would have corroborated the story was the person he was working on that pillar with. But that person, the last time we checked, he was at intensive care and we couldn't reach him. So we're trying to keep their profiles very low. But at the same time, we're still trying to dig deeper and find that other guy. Because if we are able to reach him, then we're able to get a clearer picture about the whole thing. And then we were not aware, because that day they had to leave the hospital as soon as possible, you know, because of things, you know. So we couldn't ask him, oh, what about the engineers you mentioned, Ola and Kola, did they survive? Were they trapped? So we don't know about their status right now. We don't know if they survived or they were trapped in the collapse. So the only other person we can reach out to right now is in intensive care, and so we can't corroborate. He was scared. You see, that's due to my experience in journalism. When a person is very, very scared, you know, to give out information, to talk about something, you know, he's traumatized. You know, he gives a little bit of fact, you know, to his statement, a little bit of credibility to his statement. So he was really scared about speaking about it. He was really scared about his identity. He was really scared about people coming from him, because he said that he was told categorically clear that he should not give up that information.
Did he mention who told him not to give the information out?
He didn't mention who.
Now, has the pro panel held the press conference that they said they were going to hold today?
No, the press conference did not hold so far. As far as I know, he didn't.
Do we know why? Did they give us an explanation why?
No. I heard it was cancelled. Okay, so on Saturday, we got the information that they were going to brief the press, because a lot of persons were concerned about the nature of the
non-transparency.
Yeah. Oh, you call it non-transparency.
If you don't have the press in the room, you're not being transparent.
Okay, so yes, we were very concerned about it, and family members were speaking up about it, and then all of a sudden news.
I mean, you don't have family members in the room, you don't have the developers in the room, and you don't have the press in the room. Who do you have in the room? What are you probing?
I don't know. I guess what they had in mind was to call some persons at a very point in time, and then. But you see, right nowadays we need transparency. We need all these things to be very there. Is need it to be out in the open. You know, even okay. Let me say the NSAS panel that was set up. You see, even if they allowed people in there, you know, people are still doubtful about how transparent they are. Not to talk of a panel
when
that
you don't
is
have
closed,
people in
exactly.
There. So no concession has been made about letting the press come in for the sessions?
No, so far.
And the victims' families are also demanding access to the sittings. Has the government addressed that particular demand?
No. The government has not addressed that particular demand. And we're still reaching out to the Commissioner of for Information today. We're still going to reach out to him today, because he was the one that said, okay, it's been cancelled. Okay, so we're going to reach out to him, and we're still going to find out if the government has something to react to the concerns of the families, because a lot of them are agitated. You see, first of all, it was agitation to see the body. Now they got in the bodies. Now they're agitating to know more about the situation.
What happened on that day.
And a lot of persons are raising eyebrows because of how the situation went down.
The Nigerian Council of Registered Insurance Brokers is saying that they've still not identified an insurer or broker connected to the building. Now, is there a concern here, and I like how you're smiling at me, but is there a concern here that if liability is placed on the developer, this lack of insurance could complicate compensation to victims?
Yes, there's a concern. There's actually a very big concern on that aspect, in the sense that, just like you said it now, a lot of persons are concerned about that action actually playing out. And with the recent news that came out that the family of the developer were scattering for his properties,
his wealth.
Yes, his wealth and everything. You know, makes a lot of people more concerned about what's the next thing. It's like they have an information that something's going to happen soon, so everybody has to split theirs and take theirs and move ahead at this very point in time, because that information came out like barely 3 days or 2 days after his death, after it was confirmed he was dead, and that information came out. So everybody's like, what's the hurry? What's the rush? Why's the rush? He's not even buried yet. So it raised a lot of eyebrows. And now that they've not been able to find an insurer, gives the fact that, okay, I don't know how it works legally, we're still yet to get that fact out, but I think, you know, the concerns heightened when that statement came out from the council.
The police commissioner, Hakim Odumoshu, says that the IG has set up a special team to investigate any criminal wrongdoing in the collapse led by an AIG. Do we have any visibility yet on how the police investigation is going? Do we know if anyone is being questioned?
No, I don't know if anyone is being questioned right now about that very situation. But I think the police, the panel set up by the police has to wait for this panel of inquiry
to finish.
Yes, because it is whatever they come up with, that's where the police can begin working on it. Because they are the one that says, oh, okay, the error came out from here, and the error came out here, and this is who is a criminal in this case, and who then the police can take it up from there and start their proceedings, just the way it's supposed to be.
Emmanuel Onwuka is our correspondent at Nigeria Info. He's been on this story since it broke 2 weeks ago. You've heard him several times on the station, giving us updates as they come. I want to hear from you, Lagos. What are your thoughts on the ongoing investigation? What are your thoughts on everything you've heard here so far? 01465-7190. If you're a woman, call us on that number. If you're a man, 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. And we're streaming on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Hello, thank you for calling us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good morning.
Good evening, sorry. Good evening. It's okay. What's your name?
My name is Samuel.
Hi, Samuel. Welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I just want to make a contribution over this collapsed building. Truly, just like the correspondent has been talking about, for any correction to be done, I'm a prospective builder.
Okay.
So this is my field.
Okay.
So for any correction to be done on such instances, the structure or the pillar in question supposed to be braced.
Okay.
And bracing is a support, is a temporal support that could serve before the correction is rectified, is made. So I think that is missing in that particular instance. So that could be a major factor for that collapse. So that's just my contribution.
All right, thank you for calling to contribute. We've got Francis Namani, who says he's watching live from Amagunze in Enugu State, and he says the issue of prevailing building collapses in Lagos is undoubtedly very bad. A special committee should be constituted to determine the immediate and remote causes and offer remedial solutions to the ugly development. All right, Francis, thank you very much for your message. Nandi Akujobi says, as for the Gerrard Road victims, I honestly pray that they find justice, because our judicial system has proven time and time again to be incapable of delivering justice to the common man. Igoni Phillips says the engineer who ordered the removal of the said column or pillar is an amateur, or just arrogating the name engineer to himself. Let's take another call. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
Good evening. My name is Fumi.
Hi, Fumi. Welcome.
I'm actually calling from Bavaria.
We're glad to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. There's something I actually want to correct about us in this country. I think we are so wrapped in about our judgment. Nobody actually knew the causes of that matter. I'm talking about the collapse of building in Ikoyi. But let's just wait till we have the outcome of the panel of inquiry that the governors have actually set up. People are just saying this could be what have caused the building to collapse, one thing and the other. Nobody really knew the actual facts. I can tell you, even in my street, somebody was saying that. He said they put jams. They said there's a mold to that particular thing. But let's just be calm enough. let's see the outcome of the panel of inquiry. Whatever they see, then people, they have to take a step as such.
Oh no, sorry about that. Well, if you've been listening to Nigeria Info, no one has officially said anything about what caused the collapse, because of course we're waiting for the official statement from the panel when they're done with their investigation. What we have brought you though are eyewitness accounts, you know, and according to one of the eyewitness, one of the survivors who we spoke with, here's what he had to say.
We were working on the first floor. The engineer Kola and engineer Ola told us there is one pillar at the
first floor. The pillar was crushed. So the engineer told us to bring the pillar so that they fix our pillar. Because of the pillar is very big. So they are confident that nothing will happen to the pillar. But they just moved the first pillar again. To set an alarm, so suddenly the lead noise started falling. So the man started falling. Then we covered the doors. We were running, we shouted. The owner of the house knew about the pillar, that the pillar was crashed. The pillar was crashed because I used to stay here, I used to sleep here, I used to look around the monuments that we would not steal cement to me. She told the two engineer to ask us to clear the pillar. She even saw us there when we were working. They were doing meeting, there were many there, so he gave us money to go and take breakfast.
All right, Lagos. And then you've also heard from our correspondent who's been out in the field covering this story for quite a while now. He's talked to us about other eyewitness accounts. He said that other people who could corroborate this story are currently unavailable because they are still trying to recover. And they're also doing their best to keep their identities private so that powers beyond our control do not reach them and, you know, get them to not speak on the record. We still do not have press able to go into where the panel is sitting. The families of the victims are also not allowed to go into where the panel is sitting. The victims' families are demanding access to the sittings. Government has not addressed that yet. We are hoping that government eventually does. And then I mentioned, of course, before you started calling, that the Nigerian Council of Registered Insurance Brokers is saying that they've still not identified an insurer or broker connected to this building that collapsed on Gerard Road. Lagos, what are your thoughts on the investigation process so far? 0700-993-993-993. 01465-7190. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Good evening. Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm Victor Sazua.
Welcome, Victor.
Hello.
Hello, Victor. Go ahead.
I'm Victor Sazua. Yeah. I'm not surprised to see all this thing going like this. We are talking of number of people, 40-something people died. Odumosu is coming here to tell us stories. Fashola also come there to tell us, you see the camera. IG is coming here to tell us they are on it. People have just died for their mistake, for their wrongdoing. Nobody owned the house. The person that owned the house doesn't have a name. Why are we like this? Why are we so wicked? The Committee of Nations, they are laughing at Nigeria. They are laughing at us. They are laughing at us. So have a nice day, Sandra.
Have a nice day. Thank you very much for calling. All right, let's take a look at the messages we've got on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080, like I said, 959-75805. The people who are involved have gone... whom are we going to arrest? Whatever we are hearing is pure story. You didn't leave your name, but thank you very much for your message. Sandra, I don't think the police needs any clearance from any panel before proceeding with investigation, especially in the situation whereby criminal negligence is suspected. Thank you and good evening to Emmanuel and yourself. Kunle from Niokoba with our message. Kunle, thank you very much. We never get justice for anything in Nigeria. That's a message from Ehizioge. Ehizioge, thank you very much. Not having neither press nor the deceased family at the panel is shady, and the integrity of the panel is highly in doubt. Prince from Aja with that message. All right, Prince, thank you very much. Let them compensate those that were wrecked by the building. Emeka Ndumele from AJ City says, Emeka, thanks for your message. Bashiru from Katsina State says, that's a message from our big three. But thank you for getting in touch. We appreciate that. We've got this one here. Sandra, so there's possibility that there's no insurance in place for the buildings? Damn it. That's a message from an anonymous listener. We've got this one here from Elijah who says, Sandra, we want to know the owner of that building. Lagos State government are trying to hide the owner. You make a lot of other speculative comments in there. We've got to go from Ikeja who says, Sandra, there have been lots of inquiry and the credibility of such inquiries. Examples are the Abule Ado explosions that happened in 2020, the NSAS panel of inquiry. But I hope that this inquiry will give us a good result. To go from Ikeja there. You know, that's the final thought I'll take from you and then I'll let you go. Emmanuel, we have a lot of doubt. We have a lot of, skepticism on the part of the people about the entire process. Is that something that you're seeing on the ground as well when you were reporting the story? Was that also something you were seeing?
Yes, a lot of people are doubting the competency of the panel to actually fish out the truth about the whole thing.
Okay.
A lot of people feel that everybody, it's been, you know, the whole thing, they just want to press it down. They just want to, you know, get it overdone with, you know, it happened. Okay, let's move on, you know, those kind of situations. And, you know, that is what some of the families are seeing. Mm. And that is why a lot of them are raising alarm. Yeah. Now we have to come to the part of the families. A lot of them are persons who are just struggling. Okay, so their families are not very well, you know, they're not the very popular persons out there. Mm. You know, they are just bricklayers, molders, plasters, you know, little persons who do minor labor just to get on the surf. If you heard the soundtrack of the guy, he lives there.
Mm.
Okay, he's all the way, he comes all the way from, you know, one of the states in the West, you know, and comes here to Lagos and lives there primarily in the building.
Mm.
You know, he has no other thing. He just earns barely 5,000 naira per day. For each walk. So they don't really have that much. So that they saw him alive is enough for them and they just want to go.
Yeah. Thank you, Emmanuel Onwuka, for your reporting of this story. Lagos will take a break. When we come back, we'll take your thoughts. So don't go away. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. We have people who are trying to call, but just keep the thoughts in your head. Keep it fresh. Hold it fresh for me. When we come back from this break, we'll take all of that right here on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 5:33 at the moment, Lagos. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Before the break, I spoke with Nigeria Info correspondent Emmanuel Onwuka, who has been on this story, the Gerrard Road collapse story, building collapse story, since it happened 2 weeks ago. Now, 2 weeks later, what do we know? Well, not a lot, because the panel investigating this collapse has barred the media from reporting this story. Well, not reporting this story, but from sitting in the space where they are conducting the investigation. They've barred access to the media. They've also barred access to family members of the victims, right? So there's been a lot of controversy about the press not being allowed to witness the panel sittings. Also, controversy about the families of the victims not being allowed to access these sittings. Now, I told you as well before the break that the Nigerian Council of Registered Insurance Brokers is saying that they've still not identified an insurer or broker connected to the building. But even more important than all of these things that you've just heard is the biggest news that broke over the weekend from Premium Times about this site walker who gave this particular interview.
We are working on the first floor. The engineer Kola and engineer Ola told us there's one pillar at the
first floor. The pillar was crushed. So the engineer told us to bring the pillar so that they will fix our pillar. Because the pillar is very big. So we have confidence that nothing will happen to the pillar. But they just moved the first pillar again to set that down. So suddenly the late noise started falling. So the noise started falling. We covered the dust. We running, we shouted. The owner of the house knew about the pillar, that the pillar was scratched. The pillar was scratched for because I used to stay here, I used to sleep here, I used to look around the monuments that we would not steal cement to me. She told the two engineers to ask us to clean the pillar. She even saw us there when we were walking. They were doing meeting, there were many there, so he gave us money to go and take breakfast.
So let's talk a bit more about what that survivor is saying. You have a laborer claiming that right before the building collapsed, he was ordered to break a pillar because there was a problem with it. And it was as he and his colleagues were breaking it that the whole thing started shaking. Now, I know that there are many people listening right now who work in construction, engineers, masons, architects. One of them has already called in before. But I want you to call in and tell me, is it normal to break a pillar on a story building like this during construction? Again, I know nothing about construction. So if you're an engineer, I'd love to hear from you. You're an architect, I'd love to hear from you. You're a mason, I'd love to hear from you. Is it normal to break a pillar on a story building like this during construction? And if this is something that happens, if at times a need arises to break a pillar, how is it done? What precautions are taken? Are there any types of reinforcements that are used to bear the weight while the pillar is worked on? One of the engineers who called in earlier on talked about braces, that there has to be a brace. Does there always have to be a brace, or is this simply something that is never done? Is there no safe way to take down a pillar when the building has already gotten to that height? Remember, we're talking about 22 stories here. So if it is never done, if there's no way to make a correction to a pillar safely, what do you think of this testimony that workers were ordered to break the pillar? If you didn't hear it, again, let me play the survivor's account for you.
We were working on the first floor. The engineer Kola and engineer Ola told us there's one pillar at the
first floor. The pillar was crushed. So the engineer told us to bring the pillar so that they would fix another pillar. Because of the pillar is very big. So they have confidence that nothing will happen to the pillar. But they just moved the first pillar again to set that down. So suddenly the late noise started falling. So the noise started falling. We covered the dust. We were running, we shouted. The owner of the house knew about the pillar, that the pillar was crushed. The pillar was crushed for because of I used to stay here, I used to sleep here, I used to look around the monuments that we would not steal cement to me. She told the two engineers to ask us to clean the pillar. She even saw us there when we were walking. They were doing meeting, there were many there, so he gave us money to go and take breakfast.
A survivor's account there, one of the laborers allegedly. Now, but taking a step back, I also want to ask, how does a construction project end up with a defective pillar? I'm not talking about Gerrard Road specifically. I'm talking in general now. What goes into constructing a pillar? This is a question for the engineers as well. What goes into constructing a pillar? What factors can lead to a pillar being defective? How early can such a defect be detected? How is it possible for a construction project to go very far before someone notices that, wait, oh, this pillar is not good, oh? Lagos 01465-7190. Call me on that number if you're a woman. If you're a man, 0700-993-993-993. Unfortunately, we don't have WhatsApp available anymore. The tablet is not available anymore, but you can leave us your thoughts on Facebook where we're streaming live. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. Just quickly go there, leave your comment, and we'll take it live on the show. I'd really love to hear from engineers and architects and masons and people who are in construction. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello, good evening. All right, call back if you can. Hello, good evening.
How's it, Sandra?
Good to have you on the show.
I want to ask.
Hello? Oh, that's sad. 99.3?
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
Hey, good evening, President Sandra.
Hi, good evening. What's your name?
Yeah, when constructing a building and you have a defect on that magnitude of the kind of a building, there's nothing you can do just to bring the whole building down. Nothing like braids, nothing to, there's no, because the size of the building and the size of that particular column that we are trying to fix is the one holding the building. So if you are taking one out, that means you are affecting the whole distribution of load. And from the account from the survivor, that is what just happened, because the distribution of load left a particular spot and was moving around. That's why the building dropped. So if that's what really happened, there's nothing they can do to just to bring down the whole building when you're facing a colon in any building.
I see. Are you an engineer?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Now, over to my second question. Like, how does a construction project end up with a defective pillar to begin with? Anyone, not just this one, any construction project?
Yeah, most of the time when you're constructing a building, especially a colon, when the right materials are not used, especially when you're mixing, your mixture is not properly mixed. It's not to the equivalent level that it's supposed to be. You have defection like that. Even on buildings, as in, without the column, the building, when you put on the slab and it's not properly placed, it gives you that defection.
I see. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling us. We've got Paul and Ebeda on the line. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, good evening, President Sandra.
Good evening, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm very well.
Let me first congratulate you for the award you won last time. I've been trying to reach you. It's not been possible.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
Bless you as well, sir.
Yeah, concerning this issue, the falling or collapsed house, you see, that column is carrying a load that is not well distributed, that the entire building could not carry.
Right.
Now, we have 18 mm iron,
okay.
We have 16 mm, we have 12 mm,
okay.
We have 8 mm.
Hmm.
Now, if you carry the load that's supposed to be carried by 18 mm to 16 mm iron, definitely with that kind of the kind of level of house that you have there, definitely is going to collapse. If it did not collapse during the time of construction, after construction, it will collapse, because the iron that formed the foundation of the column is not eligible enough to carry such a load.
But is one pillar enough to bring down? So a problem with just one pillar, is that enough to bring down the entire building?
Yes.
Hmm.
The moment there is a default in one pillar, the other pillars will be shaken.
I see.
When you spread the load, it is in building, it is assumed that when you spread the load, each of the columns or the pillars shears in carrying that entire building.
Right.
So when there is default in one, definitely the other ones will give up.
I see. Paul, thank you so much for calling. We've got Demola in Ajao, who's a first-time caller. Hi, Demola.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Hmm.
Yeah, sorry, quick one. I just want to make a contribution to this.
Yes,
this
please. Topic. Go ahead.
Yeah, to your question about one column giving way. If it's possible for it to cause the coming down of a building. Yes, it actually is. Because the work in which a column is actually doing in a building, especially in a high-rise building, is to take all the...
Hello, Demola?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, to take all the...
I said the column is one that takes all the load from the top of the building down to the foundation.
Right.
So if you, the question I want to ask is this particular column that has been demolished.
Oh no, Damola, please call back if you can. We've got Akwa Delta Akwaho who says, Madam Sandra, the person speaking about the removal of a pillar should just disappear because that statement incriminates everyone. Remember NSARS. One pillar is not enough to bring down the whole building, but it's possible that the pillars were already failing. That's a message on Facebook. Akwa Delta also continues to say that the total load from the top goes to each of the columns. Number one, if the concrete and reinforcement is not of sufficient size, then the column can begin to fail. Number two, also, if the ground upon which the foundation concrete is failing, it can lead to the columns failing. All right. Thank you for your message. By the way, Wemimo had a conversation with a builder, with a mason, with an engineer. Very fantastic conversation. You should listen to it. It's available on our website, Nigeria Info FM. It does such a brilliant job explaining what exactly goes into construction. So look out for that conversation on our website. It's already available. Go and listen and, you know, get education. Education is always amazing. Nigeria Info FM, Nigeriainfo.fm, that's our website. Bakare is in Ikorodu. Hello, Bakare. Thank you very much for calling us. Good evening.
Because I'm a construction person too.
Okay, good. So good to have you on the show. All right, talk to me, Bakare. What happened here?
Yeah, my name is Bakare Adeniyi.
Okay.
I'm a quantity surveyor.
Okay.
But from experience, I've been in construction for more than 15 years.
Okay.
So immediately I listened to the voice note of that guy, I think there is an issue with the column.
Okay.
And in construction of that magnitude, we call it frame structures.
Okay.
So in frame structure, blocks are insignificant in most cases. It's only the column and the beams that carry the building.
Okay.
So, from our elementary studies, once there is an issue, maybe in a story building, they call something underpinning. You have to dig the foundation. But in this type of building, a 22-story building, they are likely going to use pie foundation. And the pie for that structure cannot be less than maybe 40 or 60 meters into the ground.
I see.
So to notice a crack on one of the columns, it shows the column has failed from the foundation.
I see.
The last option is to demolish the house. There is nothing they can do to remedy it.
Now, I have to ask, what kinds of tests are usually done on pillars while they're being erected to ensure that they are strong enough to support the building as it rises?
Yes, the first thing to do if you are building such anything that is more than bungalow is to do a proper soil test.
Okay.
Once you do a thorough soil test, you'll be able to know the depth and the suitable type of foundation. So, but in this part of the world, we have seen people trying to compromise. And once you compromise the depth and some of the if it is a circular column, we have diameter, recommended diameter, we have recommended mix. For these materials and recommended a bath of iron, that is this reinforcement. They may say 25 mm, we have 25 mm, we have 20 mm. Where they say they should use 25, if they use 20, they are going to be in trouble. If they say they should use 10 numbers of reinforcement, if they use 8, they may have problems. So these are the things that cause these failures.
Bakare, you've been so helpful. Thank you so much for calling. Moses in Lekki, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, I have this simple example in a layman's point of view.
Okay.
A pillar is like a bone, right?
Okay.
Let's say the leg bone is cracked, having a crack. Can you fix that bone while I'm standing on that bone?
No, you can't.
You understand?
Well, I don't know, Sha. Doctors will have to answer.
What they are trying to do is like fixing the bone while the leg is still standing. So what do you expect? Hello?
Okay, Moses.
You understand.
I understand. Thank you very much for explaining it like that. It paints a much clearer picture. But you know, something else I also want us to take a very quick look at, we don't have time, we've got just 5 minutes before we have to go, is this probe panel that has been set up. You heard Emmanuel Onwuka confirm it. The probe panel has still not agreed to admit the press into their proceedings. Family members are also excluded. You heard Emmanuel say that in his conversations with people, they don't seem thrilled by this. In fact, he believes that it's reducing the amount of trust in the panel and its processes. And I want to know whether you agree. Do you think that this decision to have the panel meet in camera is undermining public trust in the process? Last week, I told you that the government's reason for doing this was because the hall is small. So again, I want to know what you think about that reason. Do you think it's valid? Do you agree with those who say, it's a weak excuse? All they need to do is get a bigger hall. Let's talk to Michael in Ajah. Hi, Michael.
Mike. Sandra.
It's okay. Good to have you on the show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Do you know what?
What?
As I stand, my lower abdomen
mm-hmm.
is like contracting.
Okay.
And I am feeling a kind of cold to my subconscious mind.
Okay.
I see a situation of suicide.
Okay.
Now, what is a column? A column is either a thin one
mm-hmm.
or a fat one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are designing,
mm-hmm.
you do soil tests, what does soil tests tell us? It tells us the capacity bearing
mm-hmm.
of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
When it is at a certain Newton level, not less than 50 Newton,
mm.
is said to be sand, a biara. If it is less than that, it's said to be watery. Now, that is where we start designing from. Before we consider the height of the structure, then we'll now decide, is it thin or fat column? Now, design now includes selection of rod. Like I told you, 25 mm,
mm-hmm.
15, 16, 12, and others.
Mm-hmm.
Then, for every column, comparing to the load capacity, for a fat column, you could have 20 mm to design the load bearing capacity.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Oh, no. I was quite enjoying that. Oh, no. Oh, I was quite enjoying that. Well, the lecture, not the reason why we're having the lecture. But thank you very much for calling, Michael. I do hope, we are out of time. So, unfortunately, we can't even keep this conversation going. But it's a story that is dear to my heart. So, I will stay on it, even though most people have moved on. I will stay on it until we get to the end of it, whatever the end looks like. But in the meantime, find me on social media, Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili online. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, Tanvita Kaushik and Hamid Olarewaju will face off right here on our I Beg to Differ tournament. 3 o'clock, we'll bring you all the stories that break tomorrow, three of them. 5 o'clock, Nigeria will play, so I will not be on air at 5 o'clock. Until tomorrow at 3, those were your hard facts, Lagos. Have yourselves a fantastic, fantastic evening. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.